2866, and separately support the concepts embodied in House Joint Resolution 26, which conforms with the national policy of the American Association of Retired Persons opposing state taxation of federal social security benefits and railroad retirement benefits.
Yeah, of course, I'm sorry.
I would just add one further thing that, I'm speaking basically this morning for 227,000 Oregonians.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Deputy Hanlon?
The question I have, the federal government now does tax, these benefits. If you make a certain, over a certain amount of dollars, don't they? My understanding, over 25,000 for individuals and 32,000 for, couples.
Can you, in terms of the total income that you have?
Yes.
Yes, all I can do is speak for myself and know that, money was taken out, for me for this past year. And apparently the way they read the regulations at the end of last year in November, they sent my check back. And so apparently we're not doing any collecting on that.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Further questions?
Mr. Mayor, Mark.
Mr. Hugo?
We do not have any more witnesses on either measure this morning unless there's someone in the audience that wishes to testify on either bill that hasn't signed up.
Mr. Chair, if there are no more witnesses and no one else wants to testify, would you accept a motion on the bill?
Certainly.
I would move House Bill 2866 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Hugo moves House Bill 2866 to the floor of the House with a due pass. Discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanlon.
The federal government at present imposes a tax on social security benefits at a certain level. 25,000 for individuals and 32,000 for joint. I will support the motion. I do think that we ought not to blindly rush into this and not think about the situation where you may have portions of the taxpayers in the age group that have retirement benefits who have incomes that are exceedingly high, that, from sources other than social security income. And, that issue is an issue that does concern me ultimately, even though I will support the motion as presented by Representative Hugo.
Jim Burrows?
I wish we could have dealt with these in our reconnect at the discussion, but, the timing was appropriate, I guess.
If the committee feels they should be dealt with during the reconnect, that could always be done, or go ahead and do it now.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Trotter?
My understanding is we're looking at something a little different than just doing the reconnect. What is to this legislation? I think it's almost an exception for reconnect. That's very drastic, that's what we're putting, I think we should tell it now.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Jim McCracken?
Considering the luck or fortune that bills have when they go to subcommittee, I think we ought to deal with the bill now.
Further discussion? Motion before us is to send House Bill 2866 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Tilda, would you please call the roll on the motion?
Representatives Clary?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Ostergaard? Hugo?
Aye.
McCracken?
Aye.
Schoon?
Aye.
Trahan?
Aye.
Burrows?
Aye.
Troop?
Aye. Motion's adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Trotter?
Move HJR 26.
Representative Trotter moves HJR 26 to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation. Discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Scott?
I think perhaps this is where Representative Henning's concerns should be dealt with, because I don't understand exactly how the federal government is taxing Social Security, but I know that there's an income test, and then I think that it's half of the Social Security above that.
I think that's not.
And I think that that relates to the relationship between what the individual paid into the system and what somebody else paid into the system. And so it sounds to me, in general terms, that the part that's being taxed is the part that was paid by the employer, in general terms. Now, I may be wrong on this, but I think we should be a little cautious about actually putting something into the Constitution that we may have to deal with in the future.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator?
There's been sort of a mentality in the last few years, and I'm not sure what precipitated the whole movement, but it's as if we don't trust ourselves with the statutes. And if we pass statutes and we have public record that this is the intent of the Oregon legislature, to me that should be enough. And I don't understand why we keep sending things out to voters and putting them in the Constitution. It's right and appropriate. We have fair hearings, and we say we do not want to tax Social Security and railroad benefits. To me, that should be enough. I don't think we need it in the Constitution.
Representative Martin?
Mr. Chairman, if I may briefly speak to that point. What brought this on is when I was reading Proposition 2 of Ray Phillips. I'm correct there for a point, not a friend of mine, but I thought that was entirely out of context of trying to put a freeze on property taxes by using that as a feather in the cap to get the old people to come out and vote for it. I think it's a deceptive measure. And I thought, well, let's take this away from them. And frankly, that's the reason it's a constitutional amendment. You've got to either buy that concept or not go.
Yeah.
They're saying, Mark, do you have any difficulty with an amendment that would move the election from the 86 primary to the 86 general?
None whatsoever.
Any further discussion or questions by committee members of Representative Markham? I would move to amend the motion to replace the 86 primary with an 86 general election time for voting on the measure. Discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Jim Trainer? Okay, friendly amendment. Any further discussion of the measure?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Skilling?
Well, just one further comment. A lot of the people have paid into their own retirement programs that don't get Social Security at all, and we're making no provision for those people. And so I think we're doing something that may benefit a select group, a large group, true, but not everybody, we're not giving everybody equal treatment.
Representative McCracken?
People don't have a choice regarding paying Social Security taxes. Whereas they have a choice with other retirement plans. I share, however, your concern and Representative Burrow's concern very much. I do respect the legislative process, but I'll support the motion for the reasons that Representative Martin cited. Is let's take this away from those who wish to destroy government.
I just had a question on your friendly amendment, since I was trying to think through that if, as the representative from Douglas County and Linn County have stated, that one of the purposes of this is to defuse some of the impacts of putting a thing like this in with the 1.5% property tax limitation on a November election. That means this would be right next to a property tax limitation which might be there. I think that the original draft then would be preferable if the people had a chance to vote on this in the primary. By the time November came around, they could say, we've already done that. We don't have to vote on it again. So I suppose I would rather have it in the primary election as written here for that purpose.
Discussion on that point?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Scott?
Well, perhaps we could ask you why you felt November was better.
Well, I guess it was the same reasoning, but opposite conclusion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it would seem to me that if they were together, then the people would say, well, do you want to cut property taxes and save your Social Security, or you only want to save your Social Security? And I think that that you're not going to get just saving Social Security as the more attractive alternative. If if all you're doing is trying to calculate which looks better to voters who are trying to save their taxes. So that, if you would say, well, this is unnecessary because we've already saved Social Security in May, I feel that it would have more impact.
It's a close call. Any other discussion on that? Mr. Bill?
Chairman, I thought this through. I thought also in the May primary would be more advisable, but when you asked me, I had no objection. Why? I'm smart enough not to object. I've been around long enough, but it's a situation. But I feel that the primary would be more apropos for the reasons that Representative Hoskins pointed out.
Further discussion, Representative Hugo?
I would think that would be Representative Hoskins.
Okay. I'll withdraw my friendly amendment also. Appreciate the persuasive arguments by committee members and Representative Markham. Any further discussion on the...
Mr. Chairman.
Jim Burrows?
I have a feeling I'm ready to hang myself. With all due respect to Representative Markham, until I'm nervous, and with all due respect of 227,000 AARP members, I am not going to support this. I do not feel we should tax Social Security and railroad retirement benefits, but I do not believe it needs to be in the Constitution. I mean, it is the policy of this legislature, I am sure, that this, the bill, original bill, what, 2286, will pass, as it should, but I'm not willing to put it out to the vote of the people. We're just firing bills up, they're constitutional amendments, and I don't think we need to do that as a body. So I'll be voting no, but I want to assure everyone that I do not support taxing Social Security and retirement benefits.
Further discussion? Please call the roll on the motion, Hilda.
Representatives Hanlon?
Aye.
Hostica?
Aye.
Hugo?
Aye.
McCracken?
Aye.
Schoon?
No.
Trahan?
Aye.
Burrows?
No.
Kalluri?
Aye.
Truth?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Representative Trahan, would you carry HJR 26 and Representative Hugo 2866?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Same Hostica?
Yeah, since I was out of the room, I'm wondering if I could get unanimous consent to vote aye on 2866.
Chair moves that...
I see aye on another bill.
Chair moves that the committee give Representative Hostica unanimous consent to cast his vote on House Bill 2866. Is there an objection? If not, so ordered. Representative Hostica, how do you vote?
Aye.
Let's see, we dealt with 26... 2866, 2232, that leaves us with House Bill 2177. Do we have Kathleen Carter from the Department of Transportation here today? We'll open the public hearing on House Bill 2177, and Ms. Carter, would you please come forward?
Ruth Carter.
For the record, I'm Kathleen Carter, representing the Department of Transportation. You have a copy of my written testimony. I'd like to highlight the major points and to offer a few amendments. The Department's requesting authority through House Bill 2177 to issue bonds secured with state highway revenues. The bonds are a type of revenue bond, and they're frequently called highway tax bonds in other states. The tax bonds would provide an alternative to the department's current authority to issue general obligation bonds. And by having this mix of authority, the department and the state treasurer's office could determine the most advantageous type of bonds to issue at a particular time. The tax bonds would be secured with the net revenues to the highway fund from fuel taxes, weight mile tax, license, registration, and titling fees, and truckload violation fines. A primary advantage of the tax bonds would be to conserve the state's general obligation debt capacity. Another advantage would be increased flexibility in determining specific provisions of the bonds. And in some cases, this could allow the department to better tailor the bonds to fit with the expected flow of revenues for particular programs. The disadvantage of the tax bonds is that they usually command a slightly higher interest rate than comparable general obligation bonds. But most, and probably all, of that increased cost would be offset by the interest that would be earned on a debt service reserve account that's required under the bill, and that usually accompanies revenue bonds. The tax bonds wouldn't always be preferable to general obligation bonds, but with the authority to issue either type of bonds, then the state could pick the best approach when debt financing is needed. Currently, the department anticipates the possibility of bonding for two special programs. One is the Highway Modernization Program that's proposed under House Bill 2266. And there, the bonds would be used to sustain the flow of revenue for that program, and they'd be paid off with the 1 cent tax increase. The second possibility for bonding that the department's considering is to advance construction on some interstate freeway projects. And in that instance, the bonds would be repaid primarily from future federal interstate allocations.
Mr. Tilley?
Representative Burrows?
That caught my eye. Knowing that the federal government is cutting a variety of programs, is that something that we really should rely on, future federal allocations?
The department would need to look into that more in light of some of the things that are being considered in the federal government. Right now, some other states are entering into agreements with the Federal Highway Administration for this type of program, but I'm not sure how future actions of Congress could affect that.
Okay.
I mentioned earlier that I'd like to offer a few amendments. The amendments are technical rather than substantive. When Legislative Council prepared the final version of the amendments that were adopted by the House Transportation Committee, a portion of what had been Section 2 of the bill became a new Section 2A, and as a result, there's some references elsewhere to Section 2 in the bill now that need to refer to Sections 2 and 2A. And the proposed amendments that are attached to your written testimony would make those changes. In addition, Section 4 of the A and Gross bill provides for a maximum amount of bonds that could be outstanding at any one time, and that amount was left blank. The department's requesting that that amount be $115 million. The amount of bonds that could actually be issued then would be further controlled by the legislature's limitation on the amount of bonds each department can issue during a particular biennium.
Okay. Are there questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hostica?
I'm just wondering, you know, about, since these bonds are going to be retired through a normal income stream, what's the point of the bonding? Do you need a lot of money out front for some projects that you don't think you're going to need that money for sometime in the future? Or are you going to come back and ask us to raise the rate miles tax and the gas tax because now you've got this new bonded indebtedness that you have to retire? I'm just trying to figure out what the whole financing scheme that the Department of Transportation is proposing to us.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hostica, the two programs that we're that we are considering bonding for at this time, in both cases, it would be to advance construction on projects that would otherwise be done at a substantially later date. In both cases, they're coming. The revenues to repay the bonds would come from specific streams outside of our normal taxing base, and we wouldn't anticipate coming back to for additional money to finance those or to repay the bonds. Right now, the department does have authority to issue approximately $141 million in general obligation bonds for state highway purposes. And these bonds wouldn't be different than those bonds in the sense that in both cases, the revenues to repay the bonds come out of our ongoing flow of program revenues, highway revenues.
Just one more question.
Jim Hostica?
You said stream or money outside your regular revenue base. If I look at section two in the list. See, tax on motor carriers, tax on fuel titling, registration, and driver's license and permits, and then money's credited to the highway fund. Is that what you're talking about, and what are those monies?
Okay. In the case of the highway modernization program, the bonds would be repaid from that additional 1 cent in revenue that's requested on the House Bill 2266. In the case of advancing the construction of the interstate projects, if we were to do that, we would intend to repay the bonds from the future federal interstate allocations that we would receive. But because we can't predict those future federal funds with as much accuracy and assurance as we can our own federal revenues, we felt that we still needed to secure the bonds with the state revenues.
Mr. Scott?
Since you've already got the ability to bond through general obligation bonds, and the revenue bonds are a higher cost, why do you want the revenue bonds?
Well, to the extent that the state can choose an alternative to general obligation debt financing, it would appear to be advantageous to the state as a whole to do that. In addition, because we have more flexibility in determining the specific provisions of the bonds, how frequently it can be paid off, or just how we can structure the payment of debt service on the bonds, we can better tailor them to fit with the expected cash flows for our program, and we think that can save money. In addition, we would be earning interest on that debt service reserve account, and that in most cases would make up for any higher interest rate. The higher interest rate, the maximum that it would be 2 to 3/10 of 1% would be the difference.
Did you discuss this total bonding levels of the state of Oregon with the treasurer's office before bringing this proposal, and
yes.
What was their reaction?
Yes, we've developed the bill with them. We started working with them about a year ago on it, and with the executive department. And Chuck Smith from the treasurer's office, I'm not sure if he is here. He was hoping to be here this morning. They have been supportive of our efforts to do this.
Now, the bill doesn't limit your ability to increase your general obligation bonds, right?
No, it doesn't.
So it's really a total increase in the state of Oregon's bonding ability, right?
It is. However, each biennium, before the department can issue any bonds, we have to have additional approval from the legislature in the form of a specific bill. For this biennium, it's Senate Bill 5562 that lists for each agency how much they can issue in general obligation bonds and how much they can issue in revenue bonds. And what we'd like to do with that type of bill each biennium is to ask for any amount that we might need and to request that we be able to issue those in either general obligation bonds or revenue bonds so that we could make a decision at the time with the state treasurer's office which would be the best way to go.
Thank you.
Are there further questions? Representative Hostica?
Is this debt service account, whatever you call it, it's in existence now?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hostica, we don't have a specific debt service reserve account now for general obligation bonds. The debt service reserve account would be 1 year's worth of debt service, and we would be required under the bill to hold that money aside in a separate account to provide some additional assurance to bondholders that we could in fact make those payments. And while the money was sitting in that separate account, it would be earning interest.
Does the money in that account come from the original sale of bonds?
Yes, I believe it would, Representative Hostica.
Well, I hate to ask this question, but I'm going to anyway.
Representative Hostica.
There's something called arbitrage involved here, and to what extent is it involved?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hostega, it would be a form of arbitrage, but it's a form that's allowed under federal income tax law for revenue bonds. I don't believe it's allowed for general obligation bonds.
And is that why you want to go this way, then? The revenue bonds rather than general obligation? Is that part of your motivation?
Our motivation is to provide some additional flexibility and help the state break away from general obligation debt. But by being able to earn the interest on the debt reserve account, it compensates for the fact that the interest rate might be a little higher.
Further questions?
I just,
Jim Burrows?
I feel like I need more information. When we get into bonding, it's very complicated, and I'm wondering if we could have the state treasurer come in and testify.
When we get to work session, we'll go through it in detail. This is a part of the gas tax bill package, too. We'll take 2266 and 2177 together, because I think 2266 will help us in a real-life example on why 2177 is needed. Is that correct understanding? So we will have whatever resources the committee needs at that time, state treasurer's office, other kinds of bond counsel, whatever you need, people from the Department of Transportation, our own staff, so we'll be prepared to have those resources when we go to work session. Are there further questions? Representative Schoon.
I don't want to really open to a new area that I
want. Let's don't, because we need to be on the floor right now.
Good enough. We'll get it later.
All right, Representative Schoon's question will be the first one that we So if nothing else, we're adjourned until 8:30 a.m. Monday, and then let me remind the committee, 8 a.m. Tuesday.